Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after her grandmother died, she took some of her things home with her, but did something extra come with them?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? Because we would like to hear it and share it with everybody else. Call in anytime, 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show, along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon here.
Hello. How are you?
Good. So we've got a couple stories here that are about haunted objects.
Interesting.
What do you think about haunted objects?
I'm trying to decide if I've, as you said that, if I've ever had anything that I think is. Now, right at the moment, y'all know that I've been having trouble with some picture frames. Would that count? Like they're like a picture that's just turning around? A picture that's...
Well, do you think that the picture frame is the source of the thing?
Or,
do you think something is turning it?
That's I think something's question. Turning.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, so that would be that. Now, the other one I was thinking that just jumped to mind. I think if I thought this a little longer, some more ideas would come to me. But recently, I had you bring back something from Iowa.
That it was a few months ago. We talked about it on this show. Tony and I talked about it.
And it was my grandmother's suitcase. It had her wedding dress in it, but
our grandmother.
but it also had a Cupid doll. And this Cupid doll was, you know, she had when she was little. So we would say about 1910, 1912. And it's a very, you know, Cupid dolls were kind of little dolls that were bald.
And they weren't as creepy looking as a lot of dolls at that time. But I got a very bad vibe off of it. And so we talked about it on the show because I had this little suitcase. And it was more her little traveling, just the carry-on.
Yeah, it's not a big suitcase.
Like the olden days carry-ons.
Yeah. You'd take it with you on a train.
Yeah, is exactly what it looks like. But I wouldn't bring it in the house. I left it in the garage, but I didn't want to bring it in the house. And it wasn't the dress that gave me the bad vibe. It was the doll.
And
nothing happened.
And what's interesting is that I never really thought too much about it. Like, I had this thing forever, right? But now, like, I took it to my mom so she could see it. And I'm just having a hard time taking it home.
Why not just leave it with mom?
That's what I'm doing, right? I keep telling her, oh, you can show it to whoever that's coming. Mom, you'll definitely want to show it to Cindy when she gets here or so-and-so, you know. But I feel like I'm kind of deflecting that I don't want to take it.
Yeah, I don't want it. When down the road, we have to do something with that suitcase. It was yours. I got it. You asked me to bring it back. I did. My job's done.
Why do you think grandma gave it to me?
Like, I don't know.
She gave it to me.
I didn't even know that it existed. And so it's not mine. So I'm feeling no connection to it.
She gave it to me. And that kind of...
The funny thing is that when we talked about this on the show, but Tony and I did, when I had the suitcase here, and it wasn't that I feel a negative thing about my grandmother. Our grandmother, she was very loving and kind. I adored her very much, as did you. It's just something weird about the doll.
Yeah.
So this week on the other show, The Grave Talks, I'm not kidding you, I interviewed an exorcist. And it took everything I had. I was determined to be afraid of this guy.
I want to go out here and give you the props for that, because that's really a whole nother level, Carol.
I'm going to tell you something, though. I really liked the guy. And so I was very open and honest with him. I told him that I was nervous about it. And, you know, and I didn't want to go into a deep dive talking about exorcisms and that, and, you know, what he thinks he's encountered over the years and, you know, stuff like that. But I really liked him. And he actually asked me to be on his show. And so I'm going to be on his show, not his TV show. That's... Okay. You can see the TV show.
Yeah, because that probably has stuff on it.
Eli Roth presents A Legion of Exorcists.
Oh.
And it's on the Travel Channel. and it's on Discovery and Max. So you can see it a few different places. But he's a super nice guy, Sean Whittington. And anyway, so we were talking about haunted objects. And so I said, what's your take on it? Cursed objects, haunted objects. And he says, and, you know, of course, he's speaking kind of demonically in that point in the conversation. And he's like, well, it's kind of like this, you know, because why would anything like a demon attach itself to a doll and then sit in an antique store for years until somebody takes it home? I mean, he goes, that makes no sense, right? Until you think of where else it could go. He goes, if your option is sitting on an antique shelf, attaching yourself to a doll for eternity, it's better than going straight to hell, I guess. So I was like, maybe that's it.
Interesting. Interesting. I was just thinking maybe it would be great to have exorcists for friends. Like, just, it seems like they would be great protectors.
Well,
right?
Like, it was an interesting conversation. I'm like, just all these weird thoughts popped in my head as I'm talking to him. Like, how do you break it to someone that your family member, yeah, I think it needs an exorcism.
Yeah. Well, how do you break it to just your social group of friends? Yeah, I do exorcisms, guys. Like, that's weird. Like, everybody, I can just see, like, Buffalo Wild Wings. Everybody's sitting there having a good time. And then everybody just stops and looks. You do exorcisms?
Or, like, you're out having friends and, like, you get a text and he's like, oh, I got to go do an exorcism.
It's reached a critical point.
It's like,
heads are spinning.
It's bad.
Walking backwards down the stairs on your hands and feet.
I mean, because, you know, it's work. I got to take this. Yeah. And when you're an exorcist, it's like, oh, shit, it's work. I got to go do an exorcism.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's a really nice guy. And I'm like, do you ever get to have any fun? Like, do you make that a priority? And he goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do exorcists do for fun, you know?
Well, in the way you just said that, what do exorcists do for fun? Like, there should be a punchline there. But he was a super, super terrific guy. And that episode you can listen to. It's a two-parter on the Grave Talks. But it was really interesting. He wrote a book. And so you can read the book if you really want to take a deep dive into the specifics of the exorcisms. But I did not do that. I did download the book for a while, had it on my Kindle Carousel, and I read the intro, I read the end of the book, I saw the chapters, but I couldn't. I'm like, I just can't have that in my head.
You're such a fraidy cat.
I just don't want it in my head. Like, I don't want, is there something that I might stumble across?
But you could also watch his TV show.
Yeah. And I'm going to tune into that during the middle of the day sometime.
Okay.
So here we've got this call. Let's give it a listen.
Hi, my name is Tashiana. I've been listening to the podcast for a few months now. My story is kind of like a mix of I was raised in a really small town. The house that I was raised in was built in the early 1900s as a stick house. And if you don't know what that is, it's practically, if they didn't know how to cure you, they would put you in this house and lock you up, and if you survived, you survived. If you died, you died. In the later 1900s, it was rebricked over and made into an actual house. My grandmother had a thing about antiquing and thrift shopping and secondhand stores and anything she could get her hands on. The house was very, very cluttered. It was like an episode of Hoarders without the trash. My grandmother passed away last year, and she left everything to me, my uncles, and my aunt. So eventually I got engaged and moved out. And when I moved out, I took a good handful of stuff. Well, it was me, my fiance, and we had, my fiance at the time, no longer with that person, but we had two roommates with us. And one of them would talk about when no one was at home, she would hear footsteps or she would hear knocking, like on the door coming from me and my fiance's room. And my fiance's little brother was awakened. So he had this ritual to go through the house with a candle, and whatever room the candle goes out in, it would mean that there was something spiritual there. Well, he went through the house and the candle went out in the kitchen and in our closet, which is where I had divided my grandmother's stuff in. And once I moved out, they no longer hear things. So, and I guess, you know, whatever it's attached to is still with me. But, you know, I'm okay with that because it's not harmful as far as I could tell because I was raised here. But thank you for listening. And I will definitely try to send in more recordings soon. Alrighty. Bye-bye.
So how would that make you feel? You're living with roommates, and once you leave, the activity stops.
Well, that I get, if she took everything with her, but did you get the sense that I didn't get the sense that she's having trouble with the stuff after she moved out.
She doesn't act like she's like, well, she's okay with it if she does get anything.
Because it just seemed like she took the stuff, but if it was something attached to it, would she not still be having things happen around her?
I would think so.
If there was something attached to her things.
Yeah. But once she moved out, the activity they were experiencing in the house stopped.
Right.
Or is it just something that goes with her and she's so used to it that she doesn't even think anything about it?
Maybe it's not the stuff at all. Maybe something's with her and the other people notice knocks and things, but she doesn't even have that, you know, happening necessarily to her.
You know, when I was listening to that, I remembered something the exorcist told me, Reverend Sean. So he said, because when I asked him about haunted, cursed objects, he said he has all kinds of them in his house.
Really?
That he's had to bring home from different places. Like, this is a cursed object. And so he brings it home and he has some sort of cleansing ritual thing he does and he locks them up.
Well, could you not destroy them?
I think you probably could. I didn't ask him about that. But there was a point in the conversation where it was also, you'd have to listen to it. It was kind of a weird story. But anyway, suitcase. And it's like, don't take this suitcase and throw it away because whatever it is then will come back worse.
Oh.
You have to get rid of it. Don't just dispose of it. Like, what's cursing this?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't take Grandma's Cupid doll and get rid of it? Like, if we thought
something was attached to it? No, I think maybe we could put it in an antique store and maybe somebody else could buy it.
You're just wanting to get rid of it.
Just telling you.
Anybody collect old dolls?
Anybody need an old Cupid doll that's missing both arms, maybe? It's missing a limb or two.
It's in a little rough shape.
Now, this next story is also about collecting stuff. Now, this is something I could not do. This is about a Civil War collector.
Oh, wow. I love Civil War stuff.
Yeah, but could you collect?
I don't know. Tell me what it is.
Everything.
Oh.
He collects everything.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he says, I'm a Civil War collector. I collect Civil War currency, badges, medals, coat buttons, and letters. I collect anything related to the Civil War. See, I don't want any of that. I'll read a book on the Civil War, but I don't want to bring stuff like that in my house. So one Saturday in October of 2013, I went to an estate auction. The auction had many items, but the gentleman to whom all this belonged to died, and he was 86, 87 years old. I got a couple of items at the auction, and there were many other items I would have loved to have. However, my cash reserves were low. After the auction was done, I went to pay for and pick up the items I had won. While waiting in line, I started to talk to another gentleman, and I found out he was a Civil War collector, and we had bid against each other on items during many other online and phone bids and other auctions. We paid for our items, and we started to talk about that we were hoping there were more unusual items at the auction, but mostly it was run-of-the-mill items. This gentleman behind us in a low voice said that he might have such an item. It turned out to be the grandson of that 86, 87-year-old man. He wanted nothing to do with any item in that estate. He sparked our attention, and we started to talk to him to find out what exactly this item was. He was kind of a strange person. He talked in low, slow, metered sentences. He was very pale. He had no emotion on his face, so I couldn't get a clue as to his personality. He would not come out and tell us what this item was. Every time he started to tell us, he would become tongue-tied. He said, "I will take you to it." We thought this was kind of strange, but since there were two of us, we felt that we would be safe. This all happened in southern Indiana. It's just kind of randomly thrown in there.
Okay. I'm nervous about people that just want to take you somewhere.
This is how people get murdered in the movies.
I've watched way too many like things on TV, and you just don't go with strangers.
You don't. No. You don't. Watch any ID discovery program.
That's right.
We got in our cars and followed him for about a half an hour. Then he pulled onto this gravel road. This area was very rural. The stone road led to an old barn. This barn looked like its better days were behind it. It had not been taken care of for many years, and when we got into the barn, this odd guy points to the middle of the barn and says, "It is in the trunk." Again, this trunk looked old and weathered. He would not get too close to it and just told us to go look. We went to the trunk, and inside was the cap of a Civil War medic. From what he said, it was one of his distant relatives. The two of us each wanted this cap. However, he had more money than I did at that time, so he was able to purchase it. Before we left, my new friend, the other collector, we gave each other information so that we could continue to talk to each other. This was in October of 2013. About 4 months later, my friend who bought this cap called me and offered to just give me the cap. After questioning him why he would just give it to me, he said, because it was haunted and his wife wanted to get rid of it ASAP. I accepted his offer and he shipped the cap to me.
Oh, he took it.
Took it. As you might assume, this is an old cap. Through the years, it was sitting in a trunk in a barn, so it was somewhat frail. I kept it mostly covered up in a bag inside of a box. A couple weeks later, I unwrapped the hat and started to look it over. It was late at night, and I decided to go to bed. I left the hat on my desk uncovered. The next morning when I got up, I walked into the kitchen to get a cup of coffee, and there it was.
No.
The cap was on the kitchen table. There was only myself and my wife living in our house. I questioned my wife, and she did not put it there. Since that time, many odd things have happened. I've come into my office at times and found it in disarray. One time, some of the Confederate items I had out were all in the garbage can. Like I said, many weird things have happened. I have told the hat, "Come out, I want to see you." This never happened, and after about 3 weeks, I wrapped up the hat and put it back into the box. Since that time, nothing has happened. Believe it or not, this hat does not scare me. Since that time, I've taken the hat out of the box and put it on my desk while I worked and have requested many times that whatever is haunting that hat show itself to me. It never has. When I get done working, I always wrap the hat up and put it in the box. When the cap is wrapped up and in the box, nothing happens at night. Jeff. So, I don't know.
It sounds like he believes it is because he keeps asking it to present itself.
Why would you do that? Like, if I thought I had a haunted object in my house, the last thing I would do would be, "Come out, come on, I'd like to meet you."
Well, I don't know. It's kind of intriguing.
Not really. Like,
because if you're really a Civil War fanatic, you know, the thought
maybe that's the attraction. I think it's interesting, though. The first guy's like, "This is haunted." And the fact that they would even follow the guy out there, that's what horror movies are made of.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a bad idea right there. He didn't want it.
Yeah, and I would be interested as to what happened to the first guy, that it was so bad he wanted to get rid of it. Maybe just, actually, if you want to know the truth, if I came down for breakfast and the hat was sitting on the table, that would be enough for me to want to get rid of it. I would be like, "Oh, yeah, I saw what Ken had happen now." Like, I would totally want to get rid of it. I don't know if his name was Ken, but, you know, interesting. So if he puts it in the box, it doesn't seem to bother anything.
So I think I would just always leave it in the box. And maybe that's the thing with Grandma's Cupid doll. It just always needs to be in that little suitcase and maybe everything's good.
You know, we've talked about that. Like, I mean, ghosts don't like remodeling old houses. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't like to be, objects don't like to be removed from their place.
I do believe there's something to that. Mm-hmm. But just the whole idea of collecting Civil War memorabilia, I mean, I get why some people are into it, but just there would be so much negative energy associated with all of that, because that was just trauma and death and darkness and just a lot of horrible things are associated with that. It was war.
Though,
it wasn't like,
I got to tell you, it is intriguing. The Civil War, once you get into it, I can see how I can see why people collect, because it is fascinating.
I will read about it, but I am not collecting anything. So if you like this show and you want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.